3, 2, 1. We are live. Now, I've got to remember this 15 seconds, possibly for some sort of ad, or maybe 5. I don't know whether I've kept it short, but I reckon that's about it. What's up, everyone? Welcome to, I don't know what episode, possibly episode 16.
18.
Infinity.
Do you reckon it's 18?
Yeah, I'm just guessing. Just throwing something out there.
Close enough. It's close enough.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Either way, like we've been hitting it hard. And I'm really pleased with how it's going. Welcome back to the VR Crewcast. Thank you all for joining us. Apologies we weren't here last week. Everyone's been doing something, and if they're not somewhere else, they shouldn't be. They're busy. And yeah, we are missing Eric and Skivox. They're currently like going around. They've done Gamescom. They're currently in the UK, I believe, Alex, right now. Are they in the UK now, or have they left?
No, I think they still are. I think they'll be traveling back on Wednesday.
Right.
So I think they have like an extra day there. Yep.
Nice, cool. Nice, nice. And look who we got back. It's Happy. It's Bradley.
Hey, Brad. We Hi. Missed you.
We did miss
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, been there was some traveling 1 week, and then helping my sister move into a new apartment the other week, but I'm back to talk and shit on VR. So yeah,
it seems like it's the popular thing to do. That's how you get the clicks and the views, right?
Very much so.
I hate VR so much. I want it to die.
Yeah, I think if you ever write VR is dead, you've definitely gone over the cusp of. You've gone over the line. Do you know what I mean? I think that's the line. You guys never done a video saying VR is dead, have you?
Brad? I've done a lot of them saying that, you know, sarcastically.
Oh, but, yeah.
Never serious.
Mm. Good, good, good. Thank you to everyone for joining us today. Sorry if I'm a bit flustered and mumbling my words, but we had a bit of a nightmare getting this working today. So, how you doing? Good to see you all. Thank you for joining, as always. Really appreciate all your support, all the VR Crewcast members. So yeah, first of all, we got Bradley. He's here. Really pleased he's back. Hopefully we won't miss him again. Because literally, Brad, when you're missing, everyone's like, where's Brad? And why haven't we addressed where you are?
I'm sorry. I saw some people concerned that I was leaving the show. No, not leaving. I'm not...
Oh. Dude, don't even use those words. You just saying that out loud, like struck heart me drops. In the heart. Yeah, yeah, like, bro, like, yeah, you can't even say that out loud.
No, some people were thinking that. I was like, what? No, I'm literally just, we had 2 weeks where the show didn't even happen this month, I think. And then the other 2 weeks, I just wasn't there. It was just a weird coincidence that I wasn't around for a whole month. But yeah, no, we're good.
Yeah, a show like this is so difficult, isn't it? So many people, you know, everyone's doing something else. But yeah. Next up, we've got Roots and Wes from Virtual Strangers, who do a fantastic podcast. I absolutely love it. I listen to it every single time. I don't get to listen to it live. I have to listen to it when I wake up. How you doing, boys? You good?
Good, man. So good. Good after that. After you saying that about the podcast, I appreciate that. Yeah. Yeah, I'm doing really good. Wes?
Yeah, all right, man. You know, it's Monday. I'm happy to be here. Always happy to see you guys. Happy that Brad's back. Yeah, doing good.
Excellent stuff. And I seriously mean that, honestly. Like, I love it when you boys overrun and then I can just catch you just as I'm starting my day. And if I miss it, I'm like, oh, man. Oh, man.
So, yeah. And Wes was just saying, he's like, yeah, we're a little long because we tried to hit about 2 hours and last night we went 3. But I don't know, we get so wrapped up in the conversation and I don't know, I just have a lot of fun, so it's cool,
dude. Virtual Strangers is like, it's just a hangout, man. Like, you can call it a show if you want, but it is a hangout. It is a hangout session for the VR fam, and I love being able to like pop in at 9:30 p.m. or whenever. And you guys are, it's even later for where you are, but like 9:30 p.m. is pretty late for me. And I love popping in there and watching you guys play and just going back and forth. And the vibes are just completely on point. So subscribe to Virtual Strangers, people.
And what you just said is the exact point of everything that Wes and I were saying just the other day. This is our favorite part of the doing the podcast is those vibes are created by the community, and the community is so awesome. And it goes across all of our, I mean, everybody, right? VR's communities haven't been tainted yet by that pool of gamers that love to taint things, or at least ours haven't, and it's just a blessing. I think it's super cool.
Nice, dude. Nice. Yeah. So what's your show on a Sunday? That was the first time. It must have been about 2 years ago, because I remember playing Turok on Steam and I saw your show come up on a Sunday and I was in the podcast for like the whole episode. I thought, this is wicked. Like, I could listen to this every Sunday. Do you still do the Sunday one?
Yeah. Yeah. We do a news focused podcast on Sunday, and then we do a show late Friday that's more focused on like game reviews and impressions and sometimes live gameplay, which, by the way, we missed you this past Friday. We went on obviously in a time that is the middle of the night for you, but we streamed Firewall, and I really wanted to invite you to join us for that. Oh. Although I know that the time just didn't work out for you.
No, it's actually like, We'll talk about Firewall. We'll definitely need to talk about Firewall. Because, yeah, that is probably, if you're into first-person shooters, a very big topic at the moment. And last but definitely not least is the best half of Between Realities, Alex VR. How you doing, Dave?
That's right, baby.
Hey, Skiva's right there.
What is it?
He knows. No! Skiva knows. It's not news to him, dude. He gets it. Hey, how's it going? I'm doing great. Last week was kind of like a super quiet one, because not only did we not have the crew cast, but we also didn't do Between Realities because Eva was traveling last week. So I usually do two podcasts a week, and last week I did zero, which made me sad.
Did you get a lot of gaming in?
I did, actually. Yes, of course, I've been playing Firewall. Brandon VR in the chat joined us. He said Alex VR is way better in Firewall Ultra than he is in Breachers. And I don't know if that's a compliment or if he's like digging at me a little bit there, or I guess it's both, but he's wrong about me in Breachers. I'm better than you think, Brandon, and I will kill you. I promise. Also, let me take this opportunity, since I have the floor, to shout out Rezzle VR for gifting 20 The VR Crewcast memberships.
Legend.
Let me shout out, sadly, it's Bradley for stealing one of them, as per usual. So great job, Bradley.
He's the longest member of everyone on the show, I think.
He's the number one, and he's never purchased one for himself.
No.
And then finally, Wesley Fletcher with a $10 super chat saying I bought an iPhone 14 Pro Max because of Brad, so he needs to stay on the show forever. So there you have it.
Sure.
Thank you, Brad, for the donation.
That's insane. Wait, yeah, apparently you got him to buy an iPhone 14 Pro Max.
How does that happen? What the flip? I guess it's because I've been scanning my room, and I'm guessing that's why.
Oh, LiDAR.
Scanning your room. Cool. That stuff is fun, for sure.
Well, there you go then. Thank you ever so much, Wesley. Appreciate it. I hope you're enjoying your iPhone 14. Like, you bought it and you found other things you enjoy. I love a new iPhone, dude. But to be fair, I do struggle with wanting to buy. I tend to jump like two or three generations, so I just don't see why. I pick up the phones. I'm like, is it really that new? I don't know. I'm not sure.
Is the VR community by and large a Samsung community? I feel like it is, in like, just in my experience with like meeting people, seeing the devices that they're using, it doesn't really feel like it's primarily an Apple using crowd. I could be wrong.
It's not.
But I feel like it's mostly Samsung, or I guess Android would be the way to say that.
Yeah.
Android. Yeah. I know I am.
Are you all Android?
Yeah.
I am. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Brad,
no,
I can't stand the operating system of Apple. Personally, I don't like it.
Me and Brad are Apple then.
Yeah,
you like the flip phone?
I bought it for the LiDAR, actually. When they started,
that is the reason to have it.
Yeah,
that's true.
You boys,
yeah, I do like the flip phone a lot. I actually, Mickey Bear, when he was here for Game On Expo, told me that I guess some cell phone stores or providers or companies or whatever will upgrade your Z Flip 4 to a Z Flip 5 for $100. So I'm gonna do that. Because the Z Flip 5, like, you can see on my Z Flip 4 here, the second half of the screen is like a little screen, and you can use it to like take selfies and stuff. But the 5 takes this whole front and turns it into a screen. And I'm gonna
$100. Shit, that's worth it.
That is amazing. That is
pretty dope.
When we was we went for a meal, thanks to Stoic Entertainment, while we was in Gamescom, and we met one of the 9 Oculus co-founders there.
Saw that.
Dude, that guy, literally, as soon as everyone realized who he was, he went outside and he just held like court. Everyone was just listening to every single word he said. And it was pretty amazing, dude, to be fair. Like, it was amazing talking to someone like that.
Do you want to give us some more takeaways from your Gamescom experience? You know, obviously, we got a lot to get to today, but I would love to hear some, like, some of your fondest memories from your Gamescom.
Fondest memories was we bumped into Hide Your Pain Harold. Do you know the guy?
Oh, yes, yes. Hide the Pain Harold.
Yeah.
He's a meme.
Yeah.
He's that guy with like this like strange smile and he's like holding a coffee cup.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sick.
I tweeted it. I'll at you in it, Alex. Brad, I'll at you, man. Yeah, so we was walking through the crowds. And I just spotted this old boy and I was like, dude, that is Hide Your Pain. That's the guy. Actually, what I did, I panicked. I saw him. I went, that's the guy. And Mike was like, what guy? I went, that's the bloody meme guy. And then Ali and Mike was like, is it? And then we started following him, right? And there was Pat from Meta. He works with me. He had his phone out and I was looking at him. He was like, I don't know if it's him or not. And then I was like 100%. I was like, I don't really forget faces. I was so sure. And then I turned to this kid next to me and I realized that we had cut in line of like 20 other young people going along with their phones, following this old man who was actually doing a photo shoot. And he was very miserable. And I was like, dude, can I get like a, can I take a photo of my friend with you? He went, no, we're just doing photo shoots. I went, fuck that. I went, Mike, just stand there. Bosh, took it. And yeah, he looked really miserable.
Amazing.
That's awesome.
I thought it was awesome. I thought it was
how
awesome.
Creepy is that? A whole group of people just following somebody. And they're like, dude, leave me alone.
Do you know?
I mean, he's like, and he's all like, don't take a picture of me. And then
you do it anyway.
He actually had his shirt on saying, I'm not an influencer. I'm a meme. That's what his top says.
There's a big difference.
Look him up. Do you know what I want about Roots?
No, I don't.
Right. Hide the Pain Herald.
Get your phone out. Google it.
I really love how this was like a week of games and developers, and the first memory that you came to me with was meeting the meme guy.
It came up really quick. Oh yeah, I've seen that guy. So you saw that guy?
The whole world has seen that guy. That's my point.
Yeah.
That's my point. That guy. So games we played. I can tell you the games we played, but I can't tell you anything maybe about them. We played Arashi from Skydance, which is a game that came out on PSVR, and it's being kind of like, I don't know, up-genned or whatever for PSVR 2. We played Max Mustard, which has recently been announced, which is the platformer from the guys who made Walk the Plank. Well, what's it called?
Richie's Plank.
Richie's Plank.
Yeah,
I actually meant Richie from Richie's Plank.
Is his name actually Richie?
His name is Richie, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. They couldn't think of a name for the game or something, so they called it Richie's Plank. Then I played Power Wash, which I've been told I can talk about. Yeah. So, I mean, it's Power Wash.
But you can't say anything about Toast? Or what is it called? Mustard? Max Mustard, right?
I don't know what I can say, but they released a trailer. Okay. Max Mustard. I don't know about the name, dude. I find it a funny name. I'm like, I always feel that he should have been saying else, but it was really good. Even in the very early stage, if you like VR platformers and Astrobot and stuff, it's got a lot of promise. Very charming, very cutesy.
I love it.
So yeah, that was pretty cool. Then we played Power Wash. Me and Mike did a co-op on that. And it's a tough one to demo because like, there's no way you've got enough time to do anything. You'd have to do a level for how long? I don't know. Oh, where's this gone?
Hey, he didn't like the conversation about
Power Wash. He's sick of Power Wash.
Does he not like washing?
He's tired of hearing about it.
He's like, damn this game.
Yeah. So
it live up to your expectations? I mean, I know you've played flat and you enjoyed it flat, and then you weren't sure if it was going to be as good in VR. I don't know if you're allowed to even say that, but
were you in Bikini Bottom?
Ooh. No, I don't know if I could talk about DLC, but I know what they would say. They would say we would love to bring the DLC to VR. I would guess that it will happen. So yeah, I mean that I actually think that will happen, but we was just playing like the normal levels. And yeah, I mean it's a lot better than the last time I played it. I think with it coming to Quest, people need expectations in check a little bit, you know, right, for the graphical side of stuff. But yeah, does it feel like Power Wash? Yes. Is it the same? I'm really glad I cleaned that. It felt good to clean, yes. And yeah.
But didn't you say that the whole best thing about that is the DLC, like going into these locations? And it sounds like, you know, we'd love to do that. Sounds like their hands may or may not be tied. It may not be their decision, which, like, would the game be worth it without the DLC, I guess, is what I'm asking. If you just had the flat game, we're not no DLC ever.
You I don't know, like, dude. I mean, I've played it without DLC. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure, but I know all I know is when I asked them, "Is the DLC coming?" It was more of a like open, yeah, no, blah 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 blah. But I would guess that they are fighting for that, personally, because I mean that'd be huge. Awesome. That'd be huge. Yeah. Like Warhammer and stuff. That'd be so cool. And then we played a game that I don't know if it's been named yet, so I don't think I can name it. But if you want to look up Fast Travel Socials, you'll see they dropped a hint of a trailer. I don't think it's got a name, has it, Wes? Are they?
No.
Yeah, they haven't said the name yet. But yeah, take a look at that. Have a look on their socials after the show if you want to. Then we played Vampire the Masquerade. Personally, I think Fast Travel really did well at Gamescom. Like, I really enjoyed what they brought. Last year, I really enjoyed what they brought. Ghost Signal, to me, is one of those games that no one talks about, but I absolutely loved playing Ghost Signal. So, yeah, Vampire the Masquerade, that was pretty cool. A game called Big Shots, which was on Quest and PSVR 2, which is a mech game. I don't know if there's anything more to this. It was just a wave shooter. But it looked really good. It looked like Borderlands. Kind of graphical style. And when me and Mike was talking to them, me and Mike both thought the same thing, but didn't talk about it till afterwards. Have you guys seen, is it Love, Death and Robots? Have you guys watched that? Have you seen the, okay, in one of those episodes, where is it, do you watch any of Love, Death and Robots?
No, I have no idea what you're talking
about. It's super good.
Me
it's
neither.
Really good. It's really good. Yeah, Love, Death and Robots is really cool. Every single episode is different. Sometimes they're a completely different art style, sometimes they're real people, it's all different. But one of them is like an anime about basically like Pacific Rim. A rift opens and all these aliens come in, and these people who have mechs have to protect this farm. It's only like a 25 minute episode, but it was based on that. The whole game, the art style was so similar to that. That was pretty cool. I can't remember what that is. I think Cybricks, we did a mixed reality Pong multiplayer game. That's pretty cool. And then there's Project BZ, which at the moment I just simply cannot remember what it is at the moment, because there's so much going on in VR currently that my brain is everywhere. What about you guys? What have you been up to?
Firewall.
So I've said all that and we're going to get back to fire. What about you, Brad? Because you wouldn't have done Firewall. You wouldn't have played Firewall. Did you play Firewall?
No, I don't. I still haven't rebought a PSVR 2. So, and from what I don't know too much about Firewall, except I did watch Mike's video today, which I thought was really good.
Yeah.
And when I see, it's kind of like two bad launches in a row for PSVR 2. So when I see stuff like that, me not even as a YouTuber, but as a consumer, I'm like, yeah, I'm not really rushing to rebuy my PSVR 2 yet.
What was the other bad one? Just remind me.
Green Hell? Yeah.
I mean, I still think Green Hell is definitely very individual and unique, whether you like that game or not. I know some people absolutely love it. So I wouldn't say it's a...
I finished it. I played all the way through it for the first time this last week.
Yeah. Did you play on any other platforms, or was it just because you love PSVR 2 that you stuck to that one over PC or Quest?
You know, honestly, and I said this on our show last week, I think if I had to recommend a platform, like if somebody had all the headsets and wanted to choose, I would probably recommend it on the Quest first because of the visual clarity that you get versus the PlayStation VR 2 is kind of got muddy visuals, but I played through it on PSVR 2, I think mostly because it's so much more comfortable for me than the Quest. Like, I can't play Quest for 90 minutes before my face starts hurting, but yeah, I can wear my PlayStation VR 2 until my batteries die. So I think that's kind of the reason why I kept going with it this time, as opposed to before when I, you know, I'd play 5 or 6 hours and put it down. But I don't know. I enjoyed it. I had fun in spite of its flaws. I enjoyed the game. I found it challenging and fun.
How did you put up with that voice acting for that long, though? I don't know. Like that.
I didn't think it was as bad as people say. Oh. Like they do some things that kind of get on my nerves. Like the lady, she gets a little bit. I don't know how to describe it, but she'll go, yep.
Stuff it's like that. So fucking annoying, yeah, man. That is probably one of the rudest things you could ever do in a conversation, isn't it? That literally means I'm not listening to you anymore. And I'm waiting to say what I want to say. Alex, I should do that to you. I should hum.
Shout out Mrs. GT. I just want to say, girl.
Yeah, basically, I told, I don't know if she's here. She was here earlier. She said to me, she said, you always cut Alex off. So I am making a point not to. I'll just, yeah.
Yeah, just give me a few of those so I'll know to shut up.
I'll just do that. So I feel we're going to dive into gaming in a second, but I just want to know what, Brad, what have you been up to? Give me the lowdown. What's happening in Brad's life? Not the really private stuff, but the stuff on YouTube, you know.
Oh yeah. Honestly, this month has been kind of a chill YouTuber feeling, because like you guys are saying, there probably is going to be like this exhausting rush of stuff coming up starting next month, and I'm aware of that. Yeah. So I like to slow, you know, take a little bit of a breather before that stuff does happen. And I see how companies decide they're going to market these things and probably get depressed most of the time. So yeah, chill time right now. I did go check out Nofio, the wireless adapter for Index. They had a backer event in Miami two weeks ago, which is why I wasn't there one of the weeks. And if you don't know, that was like a Kickstarter project from last year. I made a bit of video about it last year when they showed like one of their early prototypes. And awkwardly enough, I was the only creator invited to that event, and I ended up not wanting to make a video based on that hardware at its current state. But yeah, kind of all I've been up to is just relaxing a bit and taking. Again, when I'm in VR, it's still VR chat, but just to relax.
Nice, dude. Nice. So why would they make it for the Index? I mean, is that like saying there's a future for that headset still? Like, do you know? And I don't mean that in a funny way. I know it's a great headset, but with all the talk of Deckard and blah, 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 like, you know, it's an old headset really, isn't it, in some ways?
Yeah, they're definitely like, I mean, when I made the video, I wasn't really confident it was going to do well, like last year. But they ended up blowing through their Kickstarter goal very quickly and like fair amount. So there is still people that, for whatever reason, love their Index. I say this as like a half joke, but people that spend a lot of time in VR chat doing stuff like pole dancing, they love their Index a lot. They want to make it wireless for stuff like that. Very weird edge use case, but there are people out there that are, they do like their Index a lot. They want to make it wireless, so they're getting that niche community out there. And my opinion hasn't changed, that headsets are kind of releasing with 6E built in now. So it's just kind of like, why buy a $500 extension for a 4-year-old headset?
It's $500.
It's $450 plus taxes. That's all available for pre-order now.
That's all I was saying, dude. Like, if someone came to me and said, listen, we're going to make this tech, we're going to do all this, I'd be thinking, isn't this headset like going to be obsolete soon? You know, who's going to buy it? That's all I meant. I'm not saying it's a bad headset.
They're kind of in a situation now where, you know, they have to deliver for their Kickstarters anyway. So even if it's 2 years from now, they've still kind of got to stick with what they sold people, right? And then after they get this out of the way, I wouldn't be shocked if they decide to move on to more current hardware, but you know, they sold people an index adapter, so that's kind of what they have to ship first.
Got it.
Nice. And they got to make some money back, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah.
Couldn't have been cheap to develop R&D.
Look what I got, Brad.
Produce.
Look what I got.
Yeah.
Beast. Yeah. What a beast. They sent me some eye tracking bloody file that I need to add to get eye tracking working or something. And I was just like, dude, I had to charge everything up first. I was like, everything was dead, so I'll be jumping in there at some point. What was your thoughts on that headset, though? It was pretty negative, wasn't it? Was it negative? Good, I can't remember.
Just you know, I didn't enjoy the headset. I think... So the one thing to sum up my opinion of the Pimax Crystal is the one thing that Pimax kind of did for people with that bulk was have an extremely wide FOV, and they kind of removed that here, but still kept the form factor, which I think I think that weight and form factor in the current year is really not what you should be looking at doing, like any company in VR hardware, in my opinion. So,
and that one's a standalone, so it's probably even heavier.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like the thing you put on a scale, it's probably like 1.2 kg.
Yeah, I'll have to weigh it.
So that's a lot of weight. That's near almost double the Index or Quest Pro on your head. And I just don't think it's worth it. Like, yeah, it's got really good visuals, and I can see simmers enjoying, you know, seated experiences with it for a certain period of time. But yeah, it's just, I really think Pimax needs to pivot somehow to figuring out, you know, you're going to have stuff like Quest 3 that's going to be way more comfortable. You're going to have other headsets get the smaller form factor with even probably better visuals than the Crystal, which people probably don't believe, but it's going to happen very, very soon.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think it's going to be an end of life device for a lot of people very soon than they expect. So.
It's quite interesting. A lot of people that I've spoken to have mentioned the clarity of the Quest 3 is going to be more than what people expect. You know, it's going to be one of those like, oh, wow, this is actually very good for that price range kind of thing. Is that your kind of expectations of it?
Yeah. And I really do think like, I think a product like the Crystal is going to be hit from both ends, where you're going to have the low end device Quest 3 with pancake lenses and better displays than Quest Pro. And then the high end, you're going to see a lot more micro OLED and pancake that has higher resolution than Crystal. And it's really hard. When you put two headsets together like that, it's going to be really hard for Crystal to sell well. So,
yeah. I definitely, like, whenever you put out a certain thing of a certain company, there's always fans of that company, you know? So, like, yeah, I still get plenty of people messaging me. They're like, oh, yeah, I love my Crystal. And I mean, as I said, I haven't even used it yet. They said they're in no rush for me to, like, do stuff with it because they're like, yeah, we're starting the standalone side of it soon. Blah, 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 blah. So I'm assuming they want me to be, like, an ongoing tester for it and see what happens. But yeah, at the moment,
one more little like mini rant. This is not even directed to Pimax, and I think I said this before on the show, but like it's really hard for a company like Pimax or any other of these smaller companies to focus on Samlin libraries. So I think it's like, I don't know, it's a lot of investment to build a Samlin library and even like keep all that stuff updated. And I wish we would see less of that from companies that really just can't do it.
I can't ever see them having a library like Pico, and Pico are really trying so hard to get so many good games on this, and they have. I think they're doing a great job, but until that headset comes out in America, then yeah. No one seems to really talk about it. And as for PCVR, I've really enjoyed using Pico with PCVR, dude. I was using I think HP is probably the same for you. What do you use for your modding videos, Wes? When you play mods and Roots, what do you use?
I use Quest Pro.
Oh, okay.
It's about a 50-50 thing for me. I use my G2 when I can. Driving those high-resolution panels, though, sometimes isn't an option with a especially demanding game. And in those situations, I fall back on my Rift S.
Oh, okay. Do you know what? So, like, I was using my Quest 2 with Quest Link for Uncharted 4. and I was getting like 22 frames. I was like, what?
See,
yeah,
that I find that strange because that game specifically runs well on my G2. So,
and I ran it on my Quest Pro. And this is the thing too, you can remember with the Quest, and I don't know if any of you do this, but with my Quest Pro, I'll knock it down to 80 hertz or sometimes maybe even 72. Like that actually frees up a lot of frees up a lot of headroom. So
yeah. So I went on to the Pico, which I run at 90 hertz, at high definition, not like ultra definition. You get like two versions you can choose. Even though high definition is actually really good, I'd still put it above a Rift S. And it was like, I think I was getting like 78 to 80 frames. And everything, my whole system was just like breathing better. It's just like, yeah, this is fine, dude. And obviously you got like the nice FOV, you got the lenses in there. It was good. I was surprised. I was like, actually, do you know what? If it wasn't like rubbing my face on the back of razors to wear it for long periods of time, I would actually use it like exclusively for my PC VR stuff. But yeah.
Do they not have mods for it? There's nothing that you can swap out to make it feel more comfortable? Or
there probably is. But sometimes when you're just making a video to let other people know about something, it's not necessarily an issue. You know, like I can still play it for 2 hours, leave it for an hour, go back into it, get the footage I need, get the opinion I need. And to be honest, unless I'm reviewing a game, I don't need to be in there for more than like 4 hours. You know, if I'm reviewing a game, then I'm in there for a long period of time. And then I would have trouble when Artful comes in with the VR cover. Do you know what, dude? I've probably got one in this room somewhere.
It is legit, too. Like, we showed, really? We used the Pico 4 at Game On Expo, and we were putting people in the headset all day. And Todd from Q2C VR Gamer brought his facial interface for it, and it was comfortable. It was really good.
Okay.
Yeah, I might need to swap it around. I'll tell you what I have got at the moment. I think you might be interested in this. Is this globular cluster? You seen this bad boy?
No.
You seen this, Wes?
Yeah, I've seen it. I don't have one. I you know, for me, the headset's comfortable as it is, but for a lot of people with, you know, a different shape melon than mine, I hear this actually works pretty well.
Well, you never know. You could have wear it and be even more comfortable. Just because it's comfortable now doesn't mean it can't be more comfortable, right?
I need games to slow down a bit, because like I need to chuck out my review. I've got some lenses that I'm enjoying. I've got that I'm enjoying. But this does, right? Because this head strap alone, right? When you combine, because the only thing I didn't like about it is literally you have to get like a spacer and rip apart all the front of your PSV. I didn't like doing that. At all, actually, but everyone was like, yeah, it's fine. So I was like, okay, so I did that. And then you got these pads. So when you get this for PSVR2, you get three lots of pads for front and back. I went with like the pleather, I don't know, feeling stuff, and it's definitely more secure, but like, dude, it's made the headset fucking heavy. Like, no one spoke about this to me, and it's made it a lot heavier. So even though it's in place, like, I don't know. I do need to weigh it, because I think weight's such a big issue. You know, I was quite happy with the VR covers I had. So let's talk about Firewall Ultra. And I'd like it if Wes could lead out on this one, because I know that he's probably spent even more time than I have. I've probably done, I don't know now, 9 to 10 hours, I reckon, roughly.
That's about what I've spent in it. Maybe around that. Yeah. No, man, I'm digging it so far. I guess caveat, I am a fan of the original Firewall Zero Hour. Firewall Zero Hour, up until now, has been my favorite competitive multiplayer shooter in VR, in all of VR so far. So the fact that I'm getting a next gen version of Firewall absolutely thrills me. And as far as my experience in the game go, it's been great. With that said, I haven't done hardly anything in the public lobby, which apparently is where everyone's issues are arising from. You know, there's a lot of people who I guess you can't take a squad, or at least as of last weekend, you couldn't take your squad into a public match. A lot of people weren't able to find matches. People that were, I guess, were getting a lot of dropping you know, and crashing. But in the way I was using it, which is in a completely private lobby, 4v4, or with the four-man team going into the new exfil mode, everything ran pretty well. And I've had a blast with it so far.
Yeah, so if we're going to talk about the online part of it, I went inside. It's kind of reminds me, actually, and someone else said they think that Firewall's launch went really well. I do remember that Firewall's launch did go well, but it soon changed. Like, there was soon matchmaking errors coming up more and more as the game got busier and busier. And what it was the same thing as this, that if you go in solo, you'll be fine. You'll literally meet people all the time and it'll just roll. And it'll be okay. You know, you can play online. If you go in with two people, you're more likely to get a match. If you go in with three, I think there's zero chance almost you'll get a match. And if you do get into a lobby, getting that fourth person to almost like appear just for you guys just doesn't seem to happen. I don't know why that is, because as I just told you, I think a lot of people are out there trying to solo it. So I don't understand it. And yeah, when we went in with four, as soon as we got into a match, it crashed. That happened a few times, which is a shame. But a bit like, before we get into the mechanics of the game, which is probably the biggest discussion point at the moment, and I think I know why that's happening. When you get a private 4v4, it's just like the original. You know, you're just having a good time. And you said about, is it Exfil where you do the operations together?
Yeah.
Me and Mike did that, dude. And we both got reservations about it, and we both made videos now about how we feel about it. But dude, it's tense stuff. It's exciting, you know, trying to get through those missions.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'm kind of like Wes in terms of like my love for the original game. You know, anybody who knows me knows that like Firewall Zero Hour is like the reason why I'm like sitting here on this podcast right now. I just fell in love with that game, had a regular squad that I played with every single morning, and I eventually just started streaming it. And I still have hundreds of Firewall streams on my personal VR channel. So being a fan of the original and then having this upgraded version, I'm right there with you, Wes. I have been thrilled to play this game. And you know, we'll talk about specifics as we kind of continue this conversation, especially with like game mechanics and stuff like that. But in terms of playing online and lobbies, I can understand where people's frustrations on this are coming from. But I will say that in my experience, I've been relatively lucky. You know, Firewall Zero Hour, I used to make fun of that game all the time, even when I loved it, calling it like a lobby simulator, because you spend as much time in a lobby as you do actually in matches. And I will say that that is kind of the same situation right now with the launch of Firewall Ultra. But I have queued up with two people, three people, four people, and maybe we've had to like cancel and retry again a few times, but I've managed to get into matches with any combination that I've wanted. It has taken a little longer than I prefer here or there, but it does work.
I think that's the other thing as well, is people's patience. Like, I think if you played Firewall, for some reason you're like, yeah, I'm happy to like wait 5, 6, even 10 minutes sometimes. Yeah. But nowadays, like, people, this is what I think is, it kind of happened. PSVR 2 has come out and it hasn't got an aim controller and it has got joysticks. So I think original folk on PSVR want something more up gen, more up to date. And then you've got the people who love Firewall, and then you've got the people who've never even heard of Firewall, and they've come in with Pavlov and all these other things. And I think Firewall just, it's its own game, isn't it? It's completely its own idea, its own mechanics. And I think Sony have said, like, use eye tracking as much as possible. I think the menus are awful, to be honest.
So I honestly, unless you're somebody who had previous access to this game or you've been living in it like since it came out, I still think it's a little early for people to just like come to like 100% conclusions on this game. Like there's kind of a lot to unpack, you know, and like with the progression system and unlocking new weapons and items and stuff, like it takes a long time. And maybe that is a spot of contention for you out there. But ultimately, I think anybody who's out there like slamming the ever living shit out of this game is, in my opinion, might be jumping to conclusions. Now, don't get me wrong, I understand it's not going to be for everyone, but if you wanted to like this game and don't, or don't think you do, I would say maybe try to spend a little bit more time, because in terms of like the quality of the matches and like how quickly I get into these experiences where like my heart is just like pounding against my chest because the intensity is just like so thick you can like cut it with a knife, like I don't get that experience in every single VR game that I go into. And you know, in terms, and I guess as far as like the auto reload and stuff like that goes, you know, I have the knowledge, not everyone does, that Firewall Zero Hour was built, and I know we all do, but Firewall Zero Hour was built from the ground up with the aim controller in mind. And this is a sequel to a game that was built around a peripheral that's now using completely new gameplay mechanics by having your hands separate. So I can see like the shadow of the aim controller game in this new experience, and I think that that's where we see some of the crossover with just like the button press reloads and stuff. But I don't want people to jump to conclusions.
I particularly like that aspect of it because you know, I've often kind of advocated for a next gen aim controller for the next gen headset, but the way Firewall has implemented these button press mechanics, it essentially allows you for the most part to get a gun stock, put your controllers in them, and just leave them there. And it would, I would imagine, feel pretty close to what aim controller felt like.
Yeah, but like,
so I like that aspect of it, actually.
See, these are the things I've been, well, I was away at Gamescom, and I did make a verbal thing about it that I wasn't allowed access to make some sort of video. And everyone was like, yeah, but it's an online game, blah, 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 whatever. They gave it to press. And they sorted something out, which was 40 minutes down the road, and I wasn't invited. When I finally was going through all the discords when it launched, people were saying it doesn't work very well with gun stocks. Like, they never got gun stocks to practice with, to work out. You know, like most games you get, you have an option saying virtual stock. Yeah? Because basically angles change when you use a virtual stock. And apparently that's not the case. Like, they haven't thought about virtual stocks. I know what you're saying, but even though they've got a Discord page saying share your stocks, I'm not sure what that means. You know, I don't know. I think, I don't know, man. I see so many people saying they feel ripped off. They feel like they should have had some sort of demo. There should have been some beta testing. There's too much uproar for there not to be anything really wrong. It's just not. There's not that smoke without fire, you know?
I mean, with regard to the mechanics, anybody that's complaining about that must not have been paying attention, because they've been pretty upfront with what the controls were going to be at launch and what would be coming later down the road, which is more another mode that has more manual type of stuff. So for people to get all indignant and act like this is some kind of unexpected shock for them, I don't know what to tell these people. You know, they've been very clear on what this was going to be. With that said, I mean, I've seen a lot of very strong opinions about this. But I got to say, most of the negative opinions about this specific thing have either come from A, game reviewers, you know, people who typically does people who haven't lived in the PSVR space, like most of the players of this game have lived in the PSVR space for a long time. Mm-hmm. And two, a lot of the more strong opinions I've seen are from people who haven't played the game. They're just reading what reviewers are saying about it and getting all upset without even ever tried the game and seeing if they like it or don't like it, you know?
Wow. I didn't know that went on. Crazy. Crazy. System Critical is saying System Critical 2 is coming out next month. If you're a fan of the original System Critical, let everyone know in the chat, because bless him, he at me most weeks and to let me know his game's coming. I played the first one for a little while, but I haven't played the second one. So yeah, Dev's in the chat. But yeah, I mean, for me personally, I guess I imagined it would be less Firewall Zero Hour than it is. I think that's what it was. I thought it was going to be a bit more next gen in some ways. You know, I don't like throwing grenades with eye tracking. I think that's such a weird decision. Like the fact you just can't throw, you can throw a grenade, but it won't go where you want it to go because it's still trying to use your eyes.
But isn't that most VR games? And
yeah,
and
how accurate are throws in even if it's manual?
So I think that, I don't know. I think a lot of people had issues with the eye tracking because maybe their eye tracking isn't set up exactly right or something's off on it, because it worked really well for me. But I've heard several other people say that it was all over the place. I watched D trying to play it, and it was like she would look up and it was like on the ceiling and it was doing weird stuff. But she was also playing on my PSVR or my PlayStation 5. So I believe it was my eye tracking that it was done to my eyes. And I didn't think about that till after.
So Sony's covering email to me was to before you start the game to reset up your eye tracking. But
A good idea to recalibrate that once a week anyway.
Yeah, but I still don't like the mechanic. I'm not saying it doesn't. The tutorial tells you to pull back, then do R2. But if you pull back, try and throw the grenade, the arch will automatically go above your head. So it doesn't really matter where you look. Then it's already added like an arch that doesn't even really work with your eyes. So actually, when you get a grenade and you choose it, you have to hold it like here, and then you look around, and it just, that's not throwing a grenade.
It's interesting.
Like, that's what I'm
saying. I don't agree entirely with you. Like there are some aspects of it that I do like, because like if I'm gonna throw something, my eyes are gonna go to like what I'm trying to throw at most of the time, and there's something that I do think is slightly intuitive about that. But I will say with the grenade throws in particular, with the eye tracking integration on this game, it's a little weird because unless you cook that grenade perfectly, it's not going to explode on impact at the thing that you're aiming at. So your eyes actually have to look at like where you want to bank that grenade from. And it's a little weird. You know, it's not perfect. I'm still trying to kind of get comfortable with it. But so far, I am personally enjoying the eye tracking features. In Firewall Ultra.
Do you guys play it seated or standing?
No.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, seated.
I'm standing.
Yeah,
if my character is standing in a game, 9.9 out of 10, I'm standing too.
I mean, DJ brings out a good point. He says, like, what? Like, why have you got to stab someone with a trigger?
Why are you going to stab people anyway? Like, I don't think I've even attempted once to stab anybody since I started playing it.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering, like, why can't you just actually hit someone? If you've got a knife, why couldn't you hit them with it, if you know what I mean?
Some jank, potentially difficult to, what's the word? Balance, you know? Like, it's also sometimes unsafe. Like, I don't know how much grapple tournament you guys have played, but that game has melee, like, fighting in it, and I have never punched my wall so many times as when I was playing Grapple Tournament with Melee.
Wouldn't that be great to come to PSVR2?
That game is underrated.
That's so good. It's so good. Grapple Tournament is amazing.
Why can't they have options? Why can't we have a manual stabbing for the people that want to do it?
Again, I think this is all coming. I think with their initial launch here, their main goal was to preserve the gameplay loop that made the first game so popular. So basically what they've tried to do without having an aim controller is do the best that they can to preserve that gameplay loop with the new controllers. I think all of this stuff, the manual reloads, the manual stabbing, the grenade throwing, I think all of this stuff's going to come later in a different game mode. Because they've said as much, you know, they said as much. They were very clear in the months leading up to this what this would be on launch.
Did the first game have gamepad? Like you can play with your controller?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Can you play this one with a controller?
No.
I don't think so. I don't think you can aim it the same.
Oh no,
way,
of course
right?
you can't. Right. No, because you haven't got a tracker.
Right.
You need both your hands. And so there's just too many mechanics that require separate hands.
Is there anything in this game that's stopping them from pivoting to making it like a flat game too on PS5?
I suppose they could if they wanted to move to like stick aiming with the reticle. Everything else would pretty much fall right in place. The only thing that really makes this a VR game is the ability to aim down the sights and be in the world and, you know, hide behind cover physically, that sort of thing. But this is exactly how I described the game when we covered it on Friday, is Firewall Zero or Firewall Ultra is a flat game that you can only play in VR. Pretty much is what it is.
But eye tracking too. Like I personally, nothing has excited me more in VR in the past couple of years as eye tracking. Like it feels incredible to have a game with legit eye tracking integration. And like, I know Firewall could probably polish it up a little bit. There are times when I'm using the aiming where like, it doesn't quite snap exactly where I want it to, you know, and I'm still kind of learning. I probably have like 5 or 6, maybe 6 hours or so in Firewall Ultra so far. But I love the eye tracking stuff, man. It's so good. So, and there's a lot of people out there who I don't think know quite how to use it, especially when it comes to aiming. If you pull your gun up to your face and you're like kind of looking down the sights and then you squeeze your left trigger, the reticle will snap to where your eye is focusing. And then if you close one eye, it'll actually zoom in even further on your reticle to like give you a better view. And just like being able to like use my eyeballs, pull my gun up, pull that trigger and have it snap to where I want it to go, and to me feels like magic. So more eye tracking stuff, please. I'm really enjoying it.
It didn't really work like that for me. I mean, it did to an extent, but I may be one of these cases where I need to go recalibrate my eye tracking because I haven't done that in 6 weeks. So it may be the reason why it didn't quite work for me that way is because I need to recalibrate. The eye tracking in this game has been a mixed bag for me. I do, for what it's worth, like having that kind of precision with the grenade throwing. I enjoy the eye tracking with the weapon selection. I think that that's really quick and intuitive. I didn't really care for the eye tracking with regard to like the menu navigation. I'm sure it's something that once I get used to, it'll become easier, but it seems like when you're navigating menus, there's a lot of stuff that you kind of need to read. And when you avert your eyes to read something, the cursor moves with it, right? Instead of staying where you'd like.
Yeah.
So I didn't really care for the menu integration of it, but the in-game stuff with the eye tracking, I did like.
Yeah, I think Root's pointed out a good thing where he said it'd be nice to have options, because I'd like to have an option. I'd like to just press triangle and swap to my pistol, or press left or right, or whatever, you know, swap over. Sorry, Brad.
No, it's okay. Do you guys remember there was a game that came out maybe almost 2 years ago at this point? I don't know. It was like supposed to be like a hero-based arena shooter. It was kind of hyped up. Yeah.
From Impulse Gear, yeah.
Right. It sounds like because I'm an outsider, I haven't played the game, I don't really know much about it, but like what's being described here feels very similar to the Larsenauts discussion.
Guess why? Because Impulse Gear created a first-person shooter designed around what peripheral? The fucking aim controller. Yep. Farpoint is an aim controller game. And then they went on and made Larsenauts using the structure, the skeleton, and had the mechanics that are inherently aim controller mechanics. It literally is the exact same thing.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's absolutely right. So like, I was very lucky to be lucky. It actually added more time than I needed. But I was a preview event of Larsenauts, and the first thing that happened was I pressed reload and my arms flew off in front of me about 2 foot. The gun sort of floated around, reloaded and come back. And I was like, what the fuck was that? Like, what was that? Why did that happen? I mean, at least in Firewall, yeah, See, this is the thing. I think if you stood there and looked at the gun when you reloaded, it would feel like what it doesn't look right. It doesn't kind of feel right in VR. And I can see, like, when you play Call of Duty, you don't feel like, oh, the fucking gun's reloading itself. You don't think about it. It's a, you just press square and it does it. But in VR, it's a different thing. And I think some people forget, like, for me personally, I want to reload a gun. I want to reload a gun. There's a gun coming out. There's a game coming out this week we need to talk about with this sort of stuff. But Larsenauts took it to a whole new level. Like that was just insane. That was insane. And they didn't know they were doing anything wrong. And I don't think Oculus even told me they was doing anything wrong. And then, funny enough, me and Nathie, because it made BMF feel sick, like the arms flying around. And I think there was like 10 of us. They all left. And me and Nathie hung around. And they were like, is everything all right? And we was like, no, we need to talk about this. This isn't right. You can't leave this session now. And that was the problem was they were like, we're like 2 weeks away from launching. And I was like, well, fucking postpone it. You can't do this. You can't have this go out. And they did it. As far as I know, they changed it for launch. Just about. They just about got it in there. But there were still other things that needed to be sorted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were really heavy on the updates over the first like 6 weeks or so, fixing a lot of these issues that it had at launch.
Yeah, I kind of advised them for a little while, and then obviously, like, they never paid me, they never cared really. But the game, pretty much, as far as I know, died anyway, which is a real shame. It had potential. It had characters. It had people. You know, it had characters with character. That was the idea of it. You know, that's the thing. You know, when you think about Overwatch and stuff, you know, those characters are character. I don't know much about Overwatch 2. I know everyone hates it. Classic Grandma, thank you ever so much for the $10 donation. Holy moly. I almost missed this. Hey, guys, and welcome home, weary travelers. Carry on. Whoop, whoop. Thank you ever so much. And thank you to everyone in the chat. I am reading all your comments. Before the end of the show, we'll do like a quick Q&A if you guys want. We never really do that. So it'd be quite cool if you want to have a chat with us about
what anything. If Larsenauts had released with all of that shit fixed? Because that's the biggest thing. And Brad was alluding to this as well. It's like, these games, they come out and they're broke with the intention they're going to fix it as it goes along. And like, and it's not even just VR, it's flat games, it's everything. It's a mindset. And it's so much so that when Baldur's Gate came out, everyone raves about it, which is an amazing game, but it's because it's finished. You know, like yeah. They don't finish anything. But Larsenauts could have survived. And I think devs should be looking at this and they should learn. They should, well, one, listen to GT because he does have really good advice, but delay it. You know, like Wes always says, we'd rather wait for the game than wait for a patch. And you, especially in a PvP game, you have a small window with all this other competition. People come out, they try it, saying, yeah, fuck this. I'm going back to contractors. Done. Your game is done. And
yeah, you know, that's not always an option. That's the thing. It's like there are windows and budgets and all kinds of stuff like that that goes into consideration when these things happen. And honestly, really what it comes down to is like, it's almost like sad to say, and like, I don't mean to be like bashing on any developers right now, but it means that the developers failed. It means right. that they attempted to make this game and did not do it. And they put out something that isn't good enough to satisfy the needs of the community. See that, so it's sad, but that's what it is.
That's what it is.
See, yeah. I don't think the game, this is the thing. I don't think developers launch a game broken, right? That I hope they don't. What they do is they release the game they want to play or they think everyone wants to play, and they haven't let anyone else truly play it outside of the bubble. And that's time and time again, you come along. Honestly, I'm literally doing this for work now. It's so many times. I was playing a game the other day, and like the grip button on controllers is called a grip button for a reason. One's a trigger. And literally you go in there and they swapped them around. For no reason. And one of the games didn't even use a grip button anymore. I was like, why didn't you use a grip button? They're like, I don't know. Because maybe one person who's designing that part of the game is like, yeah, I love this. This is the only way I've done this particular action. And I had it with Sniper Elite was one of them. Like, I've got my name in the credits for that game, if anyone doesn't know. And nice. I know not everyone's happy with it, but honestly, it was much worse before I got hold of it. Even
Sniper Elite?
Yeah,
it's pretty sick.
It was pretty bad, like in some ways. Scale was a real issue. Like I started the game and the granddad's hands were like fucking 40 foot. Like there was something very wrong. I was like, these hands are huge. You know, what are you talking about? I was like, well, there's my finger, right? And there's my finger. Like it's fucking, it's obviously wrong. And then it was loads of stuff, so much stuff that, that's what I'm trying to say. I don't think any developers go out of the way to launch a bad game. I don't think they do that.
But this is the thing. What Alex says is still true. Like as a consumer, as a game player, that's not my problem. My problem, when I buy a game, I want it to be complete. And I'm going to give them a small window, especially if it's not PlayStation VR 2, where you're going to get screwed out of your money. You bought the game. I can return your game. And I think it's we're hitting this point now where it is. It's a sink or swim situation. A lot of these devs can't make the games that need to be put out. And it's not a knock. It's just, it is what it is. It's getting more flooded. The more developers, more games, more, I don't know.
Yeah, no. PSVR 2 is a different system, though, isn't it? Like, you can't get a refund automatically. You can't leave a review to tell anyone else the problems, you know? And I know they did that with Oculus, but all anyone ever does is share their 20% off code. They don't, like, 5 stars.
Right.
The amount of times I've read it, they're like, 5 stars, I haven't played it yet. I'm like, what? I'm sure the developers are really happy with that. Well, they probably are actually really happy with that. But still, for everyone else come along, you need to go through and find out, you know, like the system needs to be there that you play this game for a set amount of time and then you can leave a review, blah 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 blah. But there is, like, I'm hearing that people are getting their refunds refused by Sony on Firewall.
Yeah,
so, you know, and then I heard that the grind is incredible, you know, for this particular game. People are like, I want to get custom loadouts, I can't do that. And then I also heard that they reset everyone's levels the other day. Is that true? I don't know if that's true, but I went in the Discord.
I have no idea.
Yeah, someone told me they did, you know, so they spent the whole launch window trying to get to like level 3, which still doesn't really give you anything, to then have to go back again. It's like, oh, I don't know. Dodgy times, man.
Yeah, and I mean, I bet I can totally understand their decision to do that. You know, like making each level feel like an actual accomplishment is, in my opinion, not a terrible path, especially when they're considering what their original community was like. You know, like Firewall is not a game for like a casual, you know, like it is like very competitive, very intense, and the grind is absolutely real. But as a level 50 in the original Firewall, I played so much more as a level capped level 50 than I did leveling up. And slowing that down a little bit and giving, you know, the hardcore players like some real progression to move through kind of makes sense when it becomes that kind of game that people play every single day.
Yeah. I agree with that to an extent. But it doesn't have to be all or nothing. I feel like the first 10 levels or so should maybe be a little bit more attainable. And as you level up, that becomes more and more difficult to hit the next one. There's some pretty basic, you know, tools and weapons I feel like you should be able to unlock pretty quickly.
That I can definitely agree with.
Which might honestly be the case after they get the assignments unlocked. And, you know, a lot of the game isn't launched yet. And apparently after that stuff gets unlocked, leveling up should become a little more attainable.
Yeah. What did you agree with, Brad? You said you agreed with something. Agreed, Gary.
Oh, it's a spicy thing.
Spicy.
Spicy. Yeah. Immersed Robot was saying the player base, which I'm assuming means not even just PSVR 2, but VR as a whole.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Isn't enough to justify the investment in games that pretty much every gamer demands in 2023. That's sad, but just the truth. And I actually heavily agree with that. So that's it.
Yeah, that's where we're starting to expect more out of games, but the development still costs money to make a AAA game, right? And that's why I think these hybrid games need to happen more now than ever. You know, these games that come out as that, like Remnant 2 that I just played through flat, which is amazing. Put that game in VR, let me play it the exact same way that I would play it flat, but give me even the controller, I don't care. And then there's no, how much investment is that? You know, like, and you just start releasing all these AAA games at the same time in that form, and then it starts, they start making money from it, and it just, it'll snowball. I guarantee it. And we get to play these amazing games in VR, but people have to get over the fact, it kind of what we're talking about here, even though it's a little bit different because it's a shooter. But not every game has the same schematics for how you play it. Like Dying Light, the bumper is your, how you jump and you parkour. I've never played a game that's like that, but it's the best way I've ever played it, or a parkour game. So maybe that it's not that big a deal to have a different schematic for it. And if people just play it and enjoy it for what it is, they'll enjoy it. I personally, I don't like this type of actual mode, so it's hard for me to enjoy it. But yeah, I don't know.
It's tough, dude. It's tough.
Are you going to keep playing Firewall GT?
Yeah, man, of course. Like, I was a big fan, just like you. I was a big fan. And that pulls at my heartstrings, you know, like whenever I see people say PSVR 2 is going to die, it's failing, blah, blah, blah. Like, there might be people out there actually, well, I know they are. I've been on Facebook Marketplace and eBay. There is tons of PSVR 2s out for sale now, secondhand. I would never sell it. I'm going to do the whole life cycle of that headset regardless. Because I know at some point in the next 3 years, and I don't think he's going to age very well, actually, the PSVR 2 as well as the first one, because I think there's a lot more competitors and tech out there. So at least for the next 2.5 years, there's going to be 5 or 6 games of some sort that are going to stay with me forever. I don't know what they are yet. They're going to be PlayStation brands. I don't know whether it's going to be The Last of Us, God of War, whatever it is. At some point, Sony will be... Right now, as we're talking, Sony are chucking money at something somewhere that's going to be incredible. And they have historically always kept their mouth shut. The problem is with keeping your mouth shut when the ship is sinking is not the right thing to do. Like... they don't accept it sinking, possibly. I don't know. But there's a time when you go, right, okay, guys, we've got these 3 games, blah, 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 blah. You know, you've got to, I don't know.
Well, you know, sometimes I think about, like, the life cycle of a console or of a device, you know. And I was born in 1987. And as I grew up, I still had a natural progression of Nintendo gaming from NES to Super NES to Nintendo 64. And by the time I was born, I think NES came out in 89, if I remember correctly, or it might even been 87 or 86. So, like, I was basically a baby at the time of the NES. But by the time I was old enough to play video games, the SNES had come out, but my parents bought an NES. And that's what I played for years while other rich kids in school or whatever had the Super Nintendo. The point I'm trying to make is that I don't know if it's a sinking ship or if there are a lot of people who haven't even seen this boat sitting in the harbor yet. You know, like, maybe when these games come out, they'll hear about PlayStation VR 2 and, like, it will be as if it was day one for a lot of the community, you know, depending on the kind of game that comes out. So, you know, we've That's had true. Our finger on the pulse. So we know, no, when this thing is coming, how long it's been out, what kind of support it has. But it could be like the prequel to season one that we're currently experiencing, if they indeed do have some kind of strategy for this thing.
Agreed. Yeah. And a lot of the negative things that we hear about PSVR 2, quite frankly, are coming from people who, at the very least, don't care if it succeeds. And in many cases, people who are rooting for it to fail. Those people seem to be the loudest in our space. But I don't think that there's as much discontent with the platform amongst the people who actually own it and use it, as it might seem, you know, on the surface by reading comments and message boards.
Yeah, I mean, I would actually say that we have a more positive spin on it than actually what it looks like outside with PSVR 2.
Yeah, I'm afraid that, like, I'm starting to sound like I'm looking at this whole thing through, like, rose-colored glasses, or that I'm, like, not willing to...
Well, we are.
We are a little bit, right? And, I mean, I don't want to make it seem like I'm not willing to acknowledge the shortcomings or the things that people are upset about, because I'm absolutely willing to acknowledge them and I can see them too. And they fall short of my expectations as well, but I still very much enjoy everything that I've done with the PlayStation VR 2 so far. And I really am optimistic. Like, optimism is not the same as like not being willing to identify when there's improvements that need to be made, you know. Then that's kind of like my vibe with Firewall right now. Like, I'm optimistic about my future with Firewall Ultra. I think this game could very well be the game that gets me to spend as much time in the headset as the original one did. Do I see the problems? Yes, but I'm super, super optimistic that the people who have issues with this game could potentially get over them and that this game could be fantastic. So I don't know. It's not rose-colored glasses. It's just optimism.
I just want to say, like, that's, and I've said this before, I think about a month ago or so, if you're here in this chat, right, you are a hardcore VR fan. There's no two ways about it. You're not a casual gamer. You've found us somehow, in some way, and you've realized that we love VR as much as you do. And that's why we're all here. And it's definitely a case of, like, if you step outside our bubble, there's a real, there is, like, I don't want to go back to that guy's tweet too much, but a lot of people jumped on, what was his name from IGN? A lot of people jumped on that tweet and agreed. They're not paid to agree. John McCaffrey, I think it was. They're not paid to agree. You know, they're not, it, and you can get angry about it and you can go, oh, these people are negative and that. They don't feel what we feel because they're not. At the end of the day, they bought something and they're like, now you fucking entertain me, right? I've paid money for this. Now you owe me. I've invested in you. Now you owe me.
Yeah.
As some of us are like, yeah, I'll probably buy two of them. I'll have one just in case that other one goes wrong and I'll just sit here, you know, and play the same game because you've got friends in there as well. You've got communities in there as well that you're enjoying these games with. These people might not have any of that. So it's so different. I do think Resident Evil 4 Remake will be again a huge one. If they drop that around Christmas, that's going to be massive. But I still hope. I mean, there is a chance, just like the Valve Index and Half-Life Alyx, people will buy the headset, buy the game, or they might already have the game, and then get rid of the headset again afterwards. It's just, some people just do that, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not going to hold those people anyway, right? At least not at this point. So.
Yeah. That's what it is, you know? I think it's hard, but yes. Sorry.
What about RE4 Remake, you know, RE Village, you know, like the Gran Turismo? Like, I know that these are ones that we knew were coming out for a long time. They're AAA bangers, but they're, to me, they're an example that Sony does want to invest in VR. Like, and they are throwing money at them. And I would agree with what you said, GT. I guarantee there's games out there. We just don't know. We should know, at least at this point. But something has to be in development. This isn't defending Sony. It's just saying that logic to me dictates that what I'm seeing is they're spending a lot of money bringing big AAA games into VR, and they just brought two and they're already bringing another one, a remake. So it's not like we don't have examples of them investing right now, right in front of us. Right. So
This is what Sony, this is what Sony do, right? In tomorrow while I'm asleep, they could tweet out, oh, by the way, all your PSVR library is now backwards compatible. That's the sort of fucking shit they pull. Like, you want it just randomly. I remember when Wipeout was launched. It was just a little tweet from London Studios. That's how I learned about it. That's the first thing I saw. And if I didn't follow them, I wouldn't have known about it for I don't know how long. You know, I would have had to be following a VR channel to find out about it. That's the differences. That's the things, you know, like, that make the difference. The trailer was epic, but that, in my mind, I was thinking, oh my god, Wipeout VR is just released. You wouldn't have thought that anyone cared the way they chucked it out there, and yet it's still one of the best VR racing experiences I think I've had alongside
Grand Theft Auto. I like it so much 100%. More than the simulators. Like, it is so much more my style. Like, driving a car in Gran Turismo is hard. Like, this is not easy. Like, you have to have some serious skills. And Wipeout is just high octane fun. Like, get in there and just start going.
Yeah.
I love it.
You take the shackles off, dude. So you've got like the proper barrel rolls for the, oh, it's so bloody good. It's so good. It is really good. I think that will wow everyone. And yeah,
everyone. So,
Yeah.
Let me ask this real quick. Jay Devil in the chat. Wes, he says, we need Wes and Alex up in arms so First Contacts can fix their issues for Firewall. If they just tell everyone the game is fine, then they won't fix it. So, I mean, I'll give my thoughts on this really quick. Mm-hmm. And then, Wes, maybe you can let me know if you agree with that, because I see what you're saying. But there's kind of two things here. One, I think I knew the game that I was buying. Right. Like by playing the original Firewall, I had a pretty good idea of what I was getting myself into and was just excited to see what was improved upon. And I do think that they delivered on that personally as someone who loved the game. And I wouldn't say that if I didn't think so. Like, I love Avatar: The Last Airbender. M. Night Shyamalan made a movie and it was garbage. Right. So it doesn't mean just because I'm a fan of the IP that I'm just going to love the game when it comes out. And two, this is coming from somebody who made one of my favorite VR games ever, First Contact. I might be willing to give them the benefit of the doubt for a minute before I start telling them that they need to get their shit together. Like,
they know.
They've made great games. Yeah,
they
exactly.
know.
Oh, fuck they right, yeah.
It doesn't have to be unanimous, you know, across the board and everyone agreeing for them to realize that people are upset and demand improvement. But my whole kind of take on that comment that we need to be up in arms to get First Contact or any other studio to do anything, that's not what I'm here to do. I'm not here to try to exaggerate or feign things to try to manipulate a studio into doing X, Y, or Z. I'm here to give my honest opinion, period. And that is whatever it's going to be. I'm not going to exaggerate one aspect or another aspect to try to, you know, as a means to some end. All I can do is sit here and give my honest opinion, and that's all I've ever done, and that's all I'll ever continue to do.
I like what Lesser Logic wrote. He put constructive criticism applies here. So when I did my Firewall video, I should probably script more, but sometimes I feel in such a way that I don't feel I need to script. I can just say it, and I know how to say it. Being constructive... Constructive criticism is very important. It's very easy. And I did this with Green Hell. Green Hell was actually a reaction, you know, and I didn't call it a reaction. I didn't go, this is my reaction. I basically said how I felt. And I was angry. I wasn't happy. And I don't usually do that. But I kind of felt like I'd given them two passes already. A kind of game I was hoping would be improved in some way. But anyway, with Firewall, I was like, right, I know what Alex is saying. I kind of thought this was going to happen. That was the thing. When I got that game, I was like, I knew this was going to happen. I really tried to get in there to do some playtesting to try and help them out so we could avoid some stuff. And I know they probably think to themselves, oh, he's a content creator. Like, he only wants, I don't know what they think I want out of it. But the truth is, all I want to do is try and make it better, possibly show them a different way of looking at something. I don't like, ah.
Right. And you can do that by pointing out the game's flaws. You don't have to get like emotional or exaggerate things.
Yeah.
You point out the pros and you point out the cons. And I guarantee, you know, to some people out there who are all up in arms about this, it might seem like we're being a little bit easy on the game here. But the fact of the matter is that the entirety of our discussion has pretty much focused on the game's flaws, and we haven't even mentioned the game's strong points, particularly the graphics and sound. The haptics and triggers are among the best that I've ever used on PlayStation VR 2. But we haven't talked about any of the high points.
Yeah,
we've been focusing on the negatives the whole time. We're just not sitting here and pretending to be more outraged about it than we actually are. We're just trying to have a fair and balanced discussion.
You know, and the other thing too is that I really do feel like it's important for me to voice the fact that I actually really am enjoying the experience someone who loves it, because the large majority of what I'm reading about this game is heavily, heavily criticizing it and saying that they want a refund and all of this crap. I don't want a refund. Like, I want the operations. I want like more things to dive into. Like, I'm excited for more Firewall. So I want people who out there who are like me, who are looking forward to this game, to realize that it's like maybe not as terrible as the community is making it kind of seem like it is, and cut a little bit of slack to First Contact, because I do think that they know what they're doing.
Let's talk about No Man's Sky. Let's talk about the latest update. What was your reaction to No Man's Sky's update?
My reaction was, oh, that sounds awesome. I probably should get in and check it out sometime.
Okay. Did anyone check it out?
Haven't been in.
No.
We're going to get in there. We actually, you know, No Man's Sky every other month puts out a significant content update, and we always debate, you know, whether or not it's enough to make us want to go back in and actually give the game another shot. It's been a while since they've given us anything that has piqued our curiosity enough to go back in. We decided yesterday that this is something significant enough that it deserves some coverage. So we are going to go in and play No Man's Sky this week and cover it on our Friday episode.
Nice. Well, make sure you go and check that out, guys, and spread the word. They're going to be talking about it.
Man, shout out to Hello Games, dude. Like, after the worst, arguably the worst launch of a video game of all time, they bounced back and didn't get discouraged and just did everything they could to make the best possible game. And they still are to this day, years later, dropping huge content patches for free. It's mind blowing.
It is crazy. And I pretty much said in my little 4-minute video about, like, I've been following the updates to No Man's Sky for such a long time because I know it meant so much to people to play it in VR. I went in there, I was like, wow, everything's massive, it looks incredible. It was very blurry. And I was on PSVR Pro, and everyone's like, pro patch, pro patch, pro patch. For like 2 years, it was tweets about a pro patch. Obviously, it was never happening. And then come out on PSVR 2.
And the PS5 Pro, there was PS5 patch for a long
time. Yeah. So, and it definitely looked better on PSVR 2, but it still wasn't quite up to PC, basically. And then, yeah, when you go in there now, there is no question. There's no question. Suddenly, actually, it's gone from maybe a little bit too sharp because you can see some anti-aliasing and stuff. Mm. But it is, like, vibrant and it's very sharp. And suddenly I was like, wow, this actually looks incredible. Like, it looks really incredible. And, you know, like I said in my video, I do think when something like that happens, suddenly the £1,000 you're laying down for a PS5 and the headset is actually not bad value in comparison to what you would had to spend to get that experience on a PC. That's, you know, because that was obviously another thing that people battled against, you know, because they quote the PS5. They've probably already got a PS5, but they love to quote, but you need a PS5 to have PSVR 2. And right. I'm like, but if you've already got a PS5, dude, it's kind of an irrelevant statement. You know, you it's sitting there anyway. You know, most people who are gamers have these consoles. So, but yeah, definitely.
Dude, and No Man's Sky is like a legit video game. It's like a full-on, like, campaign, like AAA level video game. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of hours of gameplay there, and it's online. And if I'm remembering correctly, it's cross-platform.
I think so. You can play with flat VR, cross-platform.
Ridiculous. Wes, this is your game. This is the hybrid. It is the flat screen hybrid game that you can also play in VR, cross-platform with friends. Like, super huge value. Yeah, really badass.
Virtual Steve said he tried to play today on PC with his 3070 and it's still very janky. I need to play. And that's the thing. So I've got a 3080 Ti and it does run pretty well. But you still know it's, you know, there's things like maybe chugging or loading, or there's something. And so when you're on PSVR 2, it was just constantly smooth. It is the best version in my mind. It really is. Yeah. And I've heard that
from other people as well.
Yeah, it's the best version. Same as Red Matter 2. That was the best version. Like, when the developers put the work in,
when they use the hardware, when they use the eye tracking that's in there, like, that's my biggest gripe about PSVR 2 is a lot of these devs, like, what good does it have to have eye tracking in there if you're not going to use it? Like, you, or the adaptive triggers or the haptics, like, just use it and make your game look amazing. If look at Red Matter and look at this game now and how amazing it looks, like, why would you not want your game to look that good? It's just crazy to me.
I'll tell you what is, I just want to touch on this quickly about Firewall, right? And the reason that we was talking about maybe devs make bad games and stuff. And it kind of all comes together a little bit when Alex said about he knew what he was buying. And I think Firewall knew what they were making. And I think what they hoped was when they put it out, everyone went, do you know what? This is good. I'm enjoying this. You know, I know Hess has made some decisions in the past where I think it was Solaris. You didn't have a left arm, you know, because I think the game was being made for PSVR and PSVR was slowly dying, dude. So they were like, right, we need to get this game out on Quest first. So then people are like, oh yeah, cool. This is the headset everyone's buying. It pretty much looks the same, but you didn't have an arm or you did have an arm. You just stayed like that the whole time. And I remember getting in there for a test. And I was like, is my controller still tracking? Like, what the fuck's going on? You know? But he was like, yeah, don't need the arm. I was like, we kind of do need the arm. You know, like, we've been playing Quest for about a year and a half, and you can move your arms around, and, you know, and eventually updated it. And I imagine with Firewall, he is like, this is what I want to do, and all the team is. This is what I want to do. And for people to go in there and say they fucked up, like, they might have fucked up with what the audience wanted. But I don't think they fucked up on the game they wanted to put out. There is still problems. I definitely do think it needed some testing externally more so. But when you go into a nightclub in Firewall, you can feel the bass in your headset, in your controller from the music. It's fucking incredible. Oh, my mate Mike was like, no. Have you been to the nightclub? I was like, why? I mean, you can feel the bass through your whole like body and stuff. So we went in there and the closer you got to the decks, the louder and more the vibrations went. And it was honestly the controllers, the triggers, the fucking headsets kicking off. I was like, wow, this is really cool.
I love the headset haptics, dude.
Yeah.
They're so good.
They're brilliant. But my point,
the haptics in general, like when you go to the laptop and you start typing to decrypt the laptop, it feels like you're hitting keystrokes in your controllers. It's amazing.
Yeah, I'm just saying, if they had the time to put the effort in to let everyone feel bass for some music in a nightclub that doesn't exist, they knew what they were doing. They did have time. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's
dude,
such
right.
It's
and such... to your points earlier, man, you said like the graphics are so good. Like the maps, the updated versions of the old maps look amazing. The light and dark effects in that game are insanely good. Everybody has a flashlight and you can see everybody's flashlight and you can see their light and you can also see shadows universally across each other. So like if I'm casting a shadow puppet, everybody else in the room can see that, which is insanely awesome. And then sound. I hands down the best sounding guns that I can remember. Like when you shoot these firearms in Firewall, they are loud and they sound really powerful, man. It feels so good. I'm really enjoying it. I really like the game.
Yeah, me too. I like it.
So cool. There you go. We've got a mix. I would still say to everyone, if you were a fan of Firewall before, you can get Firewall Ultra. Beware of some bugs at the moment. If you're on the fence, just get in their Discord. Keep an eye until you see something that intrigues you enough to buy it. And at the moment, if you are not a fan of Firewall, and you've never heard of it and never played of it, and all you've done is play Pavlov, I would say steer clear of it until someone lets you know otherwise, personally.
Yeah. I think that's reasonable. Yeah,
I think it's reasonable. I think there's three camps. You know, there's three camps. There's someone like me, even if I'd never heard of Firewall, I'm so into VR, I would have bought the game anyway because I'm just into VR, you know, and my friends could be playing it. But we love No Man's Sky. They're going to be checking it out later on. What about the Quest 3 leak? I heard you had something to do with that, Brad. Did you have something to do with the Quest 3 leak? Did you drop the Quest in the hotel again, like you did the Pro? In a black bag? But this time I had the box.
No, so there was an unofficial unboxing again. I think this is like the fourth Oculus product that's had an unboxing. So it's tradition at this point. But anyway, it gave some interesting... I guess really the biggest new thing that was not known before is that there actually is a lens depth adjustment for the Quest 3. So you can, if you wear glasses, for example, you can push the lenses away so you can actually have more space for glasses in there. But everything else is, I think, unless I miss something, is pretty much what we've known up until this point.
Well, the and chat's already a step ahead of me here, but the rumor on the street is that a retailer leaked October 10th as a release date. You think that holds water?
Yeah, that's probably true. It kind of fits with the.
That's really, really, really soon. 2 months.
Not even 2 months.
I think it's spot on. I do. I think it's spot on.
Oh yeah, it's like 1 month. It's like a yeah, it's one, like six, little over a month. six, 7 weeks.
Yeah.
Doesn't feel like it, does it? Like, I don't know. It feels like it's pretty quiet. Like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's yeah. so damn soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
Brad, I had somebody since these leaks came out express concern with the kind of lack of tracking cameras on the thing. Do you share these concerns, or you think that the controller tracking is going to be fine with the front facing cameras that it has displayed?
Oh, you mean like they're worried that over your head won't be able to track?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's only two, isn't there? There's only, I think.
Gotcha. I mean, there might be some hiccups, but I think majority of people, it's kind of like a weird trade-off, because I think it will be fine for the most part. But I think the main reason they are doing this focus on pointing downward is because that's where most people keep their hands and arms and stuff below them all the time. They're not usually like this, so they can rely on IMU as best as they can for those weird movements. So yeah. I'm not too worried about that. Basically, I think it's a good trade-off, actually.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. Yeah. And the other thing is, I think the headset looks really cool. I really hope they get that balancing right. I really want this to be, even though I love Bobo and I want them to do well with their accessories, I want this to be comfortable out of the box, man. That's what I really want.
With the That'd strap, great. It's got a strap.
No
right?
fucking way.
This yeah, thing, there's no way it's gonna no feel way. Comfortable with out of the box.
I don't know.
I think a lot will depend on the quality of the facial interface. I feel like if they don't go with that hard foamy shit like they have the last two gens, I think it could be all right. I think that's more important than the strap itself, honestly.
The most important thing to them is keeping the price down. And I guarantee we will all be replacing our head straps and facial interfaces.
Absolutely. Oh, but there is sure. something to be said about that strap too, for people that maybe want to lay down in bed and watch a movie or whatever. I can't do that in my Pro. There's just no way to do that. It's, you know, you're going to sit up in it. So I think it's good that they have options, and it's good that they give you, it's given all these companies out there like Bobo another opportunity to create amazing things for people. Right. So.
Totally. Yeah, it would be great if I could just like swap the head strap on my PSVR 2 or the facial interface or whatever, you know. So I agree with you entirely. Options are amazing, but I know they will suck. I mean, I don't know that, but I'm willing to bet they will suck.
You need to bet on it. Okay.
I think that's the most optimistic thing I've heard somebody say today was GT thinking it's going to feel comfortable. Because I agree with Alex. I think it's I hope. But I just haven't seen that with GT, any of their products.
I think that you should be overly upset about the jock strap so that Meta will next time launch a better head strap.
Oh, okay. Man. Wes, you're fucking hilarious, bro. You do. You got a great sense of humor, man. You know that? You know that.
Thank you.
You already knew that.
I love you, too. I love you too.
Oh, bromance going on.
It's beautiful. I do. I love this guy. I love all you guys, man. It's so great to be able to do this with you guys almost every week.
It is. Sure. And now listen, guys, if you got any Q&A and stuff, let us know if there's anything we've missed in the chat earlier, anything you want to let us know. Now's a good time to chuck it out there so we can just ramble on for a couple more minutes before we get out of here.
Somebody was asking us about Crossfire, if we were going to talk about it, but that comes out tomorrow. So I'm sure next week we'll be talking about it, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And keep an eye on, the respectable channels you follow for Crossfire at some point this week.
I have zero plans to play this game.
Why? Really? Crossfire? Why is that?
Just Firewall just came out. Like, I love that, you know, like, I feel like they're going to be competing for my time. And it's just like, I would have to buy it. I don't have a code. So, I mean, unless one of you guys like hooked it up or something, I'll probably just pretend like it's not happening.
I completely understand, Alex. If I was as good at Firewall Ultra as you are, because we were talking about that after you left, when you and Geisen left, it was like, because both of you, like when we were on the same team, me, you and Geisen, and everybody was like, yeah, let's switch teams. I was like, fuck you. Like, this is the ultimate team, dude. Because Alex is like flying down, jumping off ledges, killing people. I actually did one moment where I was emulating Alex for a little bit. I had my Alex moment, but it was that, those moments are amazing. So.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I appreciate you saying that. I'm not nearly as good as I'm going to get. I still feel like I'm fumbling around in there. But yeah, thanks, man. I like killing you. It was good.
I will say this about Crossfire. Obviously, there's not too much that we can say at this point. But I will say that Crossfire is a very different game than Firewall. And as different as Firewall is from a Pavlov, Crossfire is as different from either of those games. It, you know, people like to compare them all because they're all guns, you know, but they're actually all very different games.
Yeah, for sure. So VRMC says, what are your thoughts on people still using PSVR 1 and the DK2 on Steam? That I did see that on one of these charts that you get of people using stuff. What are my thoughts? Mate, fair play to them. If they're happy using that stuff, then that's cool. Guys,
how about a $50 super chat from Resol VR?
Oh,
how about that,
dude?
That's tasty. That's
Thank
a tasty.
Roots, have you got a soundboard? Have you got anything to go with that?
I don't know what I could get on there. I could do a come on man or how dare you? But actually, we like that, so we don't want to say how dare you.
Thank you
how
ever
dare
so much
you
for
don't.
Thank you. Yeah, how dare you? Yeah, you can have some of that. Cheers, man. I really appreciate you. I hope you've been well. Good luck with all the channel and stuff. He's always working really hard. Where are we now? Reddit thread on Crossfire is going loud. I wonder why. Has someone leaked something? I imagine that is probably the case.
Adam Luke says, Crossfire, is it better for casual versus Firewall? Where you're talking about one's a PvE and one's PvP, right? So I would think a PvE would be more easier for a casual, me anyway.
Yeah. I mean, PvE has a cap to the skill that you need to complete it. PvP never has a cap. Like, you'll always find somebody better than you.
Yep.
For sure. So, yeah, it looks all good. Look after yourselves. Thank you ever so much for joining us. Really appreciate your time. Really appreciate so many of you turning up for this wild episode that was mostly a little bit negative, unfortunately. Or balanced. Was it balanced, yeah. Wes? Do you think it was balanced?
Yeah, I would say. I mean, some people obviously thought we were being too easy, and I felt like it was largely negative for the most part, but I guess that's a good place to be, right? Right in the middle.
People want to hear what they want to hear sometimes.
Exactly.
And if they don't hear what they want to hear, they get upset.
Yeah, I'm trying to think because I am traveling again very soon. And I don't know if it's... I just need to check my emails before I tell anyone what I'm doing.
The crew cast is going to need to be the top priority here, GT. So, you know, move things around.
not for this game. Not
crew for this cast game. Live from Las Vegas, January 2024.
Oh, yes.
That is right. Yeah, I was in Sweden. I still made it to the crew cast.
I can't wait to meet GT in person in January.
I know.
It's
going
to
be great. The whole crew cast is going to be there, GT.
Seriously?
When's
this?
All of us?
When's this?
All of us.
What have I agreed to?
January CES, Las Vegas. We're all going to be there in person. Assuming that you're coming again this year, Brad, and I'm sure you will be, right? It's a hardware show.
He'll be there.
That's definitely one of those yearly shows I'll always be there for. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, so everybody's confirmed now except for you, GT. No pressure.
He will be there. He's there. He's there.
The 4th, right? Is that when it starts?
I think it's actually the 7th this year.
7th? Okay. Maybe the 4th.
They pushed it back a little bit. I'll double check, but I know that they pushed it back.
Right, so we need to make a choice. We need to make, we'll either do the crew cast on a Sunday or we miss another week.
I could do a Sunday.
I can do a Sunday too. This although coming we Sunday? Have our Sunday.
Yeah.
I'll be traveling this weekend.
Again?
So. Labor Day.
Are you sadly it's traveling, Bradley?
It what's is Labor Day.
Traveling?
I am traveling a lot, actually. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
pretty cool. What's Labor Day mean?
Is that when it's just a,
you have to work hard?
Yeah, it's when you work hard. No, I would suggest people get in their vacationing or their traveling now before the lockdowns that ever that they're like alluding to. Yeah, that's I'm hoping they're fucking crazy because I'm not doing it. Not doing it this time.
What about a
January 9th through 12th, boys?
What about a Wednesday next week? Is that any good?
I can't do any other day during the week myself just because I already have my boss has let me off early on Monday so that I can do the show.
Right. So. Well, there you go then. So there might, no, there won't be a show next week. I'm so sorry.
Eric says he's in for Sunday.
Okay. Who's not going to be in for Sunday? Brad.
I should be good for Sunday.
Yeah, I can do it. We do another show on Sunday, but
yeah, we kind of already do one on Sunday. I don't know. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out.
We'll try and figure it out.
If everybody wants to go on Sunday, then I don't know. Maybe I'll just cancel my show stream or something.
No.
Well, what am I going to do? Do a double header and talk about the same things twice? Like, that don't
yeah.
make any sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. No, because you're on Sundays we go into depth of news and stuff and so many different categories that we don't even touch here, you know. I mean, you do have the best news.
If everybody else is if everybody else is down to do Crewcast on Sunday, we'll do Crewcast on Sunday and then I'll just figure out maybe I'll stream gameplay or something later that day.
Nice. Cool. Yeah, I wouldn't say don't do your own show, man, for sure. Got to keep them people happy. Got to get, there's probably people are like, oh, I don't like talking to anyone else but Wes and Roots. You know, they exist.
There are.
There's like a couple out there. Yeah, there's a few.
But yeah, thank you ever so much, guys. I wish everyone watching that you have a fantastic week. Yeah, and just hopefully you enjoy some VR. And yeah, Brad, Wes, Roots, Alex, thank you for joining me, as always.
This was a blast. Yep. Thank you all for watching. Hit the like on your way out.
You know that. Yep. See you later, guys. Take care.
Bye. Take it easy.